Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hey, good evening, everybody. My name is Bobby Marcheso. You're listening to the Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, John Selby, author of such great books, Seven Masters, One Path, Expand This Moment, Tapping the Source, will be joining us coming up here in just a few moments. But before we get started, let's join me in welcoming all of our co-hosts. Maureen, my love, how are you tonight?
Aren't you full of shivery tonight?
Shivery?
Whatever the word is. You know, I'm familiar. I don't know how to say words.
This is something.
You're like, so sweet. How am I doing? I'm just doing. I'm being just there. You have it. Thank you for asking.
I guess if this whole show revolved around like Zen and just it, we'd have content, would we? It'd just be like empty. It's an empty show, which represents.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't do that.
That's profound.
Okay. So speaking of being found, what tell us a little bit about what you do.
And I do Well, I do vacuuming. I bet. No, I'm an empath. I do it well, like Steve. I'm an empath. I'm empathic. I feel deeply, and it gets me. I'm an intuitive, tarot reader. I work with Psychic Access with all the rest of you wonderful hosts and people that know that. You should know that they were the best line on there out there. Anyway, I also help people help themselves. I am a reader that reads with my tarot cards, but I also just read by my feelings, and I love my work a lot.
How long have you done?
Over about 23 years.
Wow.
And it wasn't what I thought I was going to be doing when I grew up.
I think that's probably that way for some of us. Like, we don't know that you were going to be doing that when you grew up. And then, even then, you have an idea of what this work entails, and it turns out to be nothing like that.
Yeah, it was something. It was something. It was hard for me, but that's okay. It is what it is. But I must do my work. It's not like whether I like it or not. It's something I must do. It's what I am to do. Thank you, Bobby.
You're very welcome, of course. And then our other co-host Brenda is with us, Lady Brenda. Hi, love. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing real good. I'm on vacation, kind of, but I'm in beautiful Virginia City, Nevada, and I also work for PsychicAccess.com, and I absolutely, it's the most awesome line out there. I can attest to that. I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and that's a little bit about me.
And how long have you been doing this?
Oh, 27 years.
Do we need to do episodes?
I date myself, honey. But
I know I didn't want to do that. I realized the moment I asked. All right. And then our other co-host, Steve. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you, Bobby. Very well.
Yes. Did this turn out, like this work that you're doing, did it turn out to be what you thought?
My spiritual work.
Yes, yes, your medium.
Well, did it turn out to be as I anticipated? Actually, it turned out to be far more stretching and developmental than I anticipated. I've learned that I am constantly growing, and that spirit just amazes me every day. And I feel that it's just a never-ending journey of growth. And that's not exactly what I anticipated, in all honesty.
Yeah. I think so too. Like, I think people separate the two, don't they? There's spiritual growth, and then there's the psychic part, the psychic development or whatever. And I think they separate them. And it's, in my experience, it's all one, isn't it? It's the more that you develop spiritually, I think that you naturally uncover what's already there.
Absolutely. And I feel that spirit will reward us for showing integrity and commitment. And as we try to evolve ourselves, as we work on ourselves, the more they seem to reward us with ability to actually step into our roles in the world and help.
Yeah. And then it becomes not a choice, right? Like what Maureen was talking about. It's almost like it just decides us, doesn't it? It's not a choice anymore.
She's right. I don't feel like I got a lot of choice.
That scares people.
I love what I do. I was saying to a friend this afternoon, I couldn't imagine going down a different track in life.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done other things, but now I'm on this track, the track that I'm most passionate about. I just couldn't imagine doing something else.
No, I couldn't either. And it's all, you know, we talk about choices so much and how every choice that we make, we have opportunities to make choices. And then I think there's some things that just, like you say, kind of get right on track to where there's no longer a choice. In fact, everything, again, in your day, you make choices, and they're dependent upon all of the choices that you make. And primary is one of the choices of each new moment. You can focus on good feelings, positive experiences, positive thinking, determining to think in a different way, generating negative emotions and leading that can lead to a bummer day, right? It's all your choice. So John Selby is of origins of cattle ranching in California and Arizona, and one of the few remaining people who actually did the work of a cowboy while he was growing up. It wasn't so glamorous, but he was eager to head back east to Princeton. And then from then, it was this nonstop change, government-funded psychedelic research in the late 60s and meditation exploration and working as a therapist in the 70s. Loads of trips south, into Indian realms. John felt most at home there. And then eventually in Europe, where he met his wife in the 80s, he found people seriously eager to plunge into the deeper mind management methods that he had been developing this entire time. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, my really good friend and author, John Selby. Hi, John.
Hello there, Bobby.
How are you?
Where are you? You in L.A. or are you up in the hinterlands?
I'm not up in the hinterlands yet. I'm yeah, just off of L.A. still. So we leave tonight, late night. Yeah. So, yeah, but thanks
for
coming
on
the show.
Thank you for finally
having
me on your show. It's a pleasure.
I know that you're incredibly busy diving into your work of new books, new e-books coming out, and this Wise Well, the business aspect of everything. Just gets crazy, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I'm turning 65 and 66 in a few days, and it's just astounding how life just continues going nonstop. It really is. 2012. I'm not a great believer in all of the stuff about 2012, actually, but there's something happening here that really is exciting. I've never gone into a new year feeling really just so especially so blessed with the people I'm working with, and just the growing surge of the average guy and gal out there to actually wake up. It's quite a time.
Yeah, and especially it's getting busier too, because you just moved over from Hawaii, where you've lived for quite a while, and you needed to get plugged back in, right? So you came over to the mainland, and it just really started rolling fast for you.
Well, the joke is that we live more out in the country here than we did in Kauai. So we're still way out in the country. But yeah, our communications network is so amazing that I have people like you who you're a very good friend of mine, and we've never physically met.
Yeah.
And all of these people who say, oh, well, you know, the face-to-face is so important. About half of the people that I'm working with now, I have not met yet physically, because we're all just kind of locked up, you know, doing the curriculum development and the whole, you know, pre-show part of it right now. But it's sure nice to, you know, that we can talk and feel close.
Absolutely. And it seems like all of us are connected. You know, once you hit that connection, it hasn't been necessary to meet necessarily in person, because I think we're all on the same page of where your vision really has wanted to head. Is this the type of vision that you had back in the 60s, or has this also just been an unfolding, expanding, you know, developmental? It just kind of changes, doesn't it, as it goes along?
Well, I think, you know, one of my old teachers back then was Alan Watts, and one of his main things that he was teaching me was it's a 200% universe. And apply it to what you just asked, that the vision that came in the mid and late 60s, this is the vision still manifesting. And at the same time, everything is so radically new that it's 1,000 years from there. So it's both.
Yeah. Tell me about the research that started and developed back then. What really turned you on, or knew that you were on to something here? Is that where the cognitive shifting happened?
Well,
or was that later?
The first thing that happened was when I started doing the research. You know, Bobby Kennedy took LSD, was a you know, in a clinically controlled situation and so on, 4 times, I think. And if he'd become president, we would have had a very different situation. Right. Because what he envisioned, you know, LSD basically is a radical expansion of consciousness. It's an atomic bomb expansion of consciousness. And they set up 7 LSD research centers, federal research centers, studying LSD. It was that important back then. Mm. And in terms of psychology, psychiatry, and so on. And when Johnson came in, I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, you know, one of his daughters took LSD in the White House and totally freaked out. Who wouldn't, by the way? Who wouldn't?
Oh.
And you know, within a week, all 7 LSD centers were basically closed down. And what they did at the one I was at, the Humphrey Osmond was running, he shifted over to using hypnosis, which he'd already done a lot of shifting before, to induce altered states of consciousness and to explore the parameters of perception related to whether consciousness is expanded or contracted. And so I came in right at that point of the research that they were doing and did just loads of just so exciting research. And what the main interest then was already on meditation, because it was very obvious that meditation leads us into many of the same areas of experience as the psychedelics do, only in a, you know, fully, let's say, controlled evolution rather than revolution approach to it.
Right.
And we were working with the early EEG electroencephalograph equipment, trying to look at what's going on in the brain. And four remarkable yogic masters from India were there. One of them was the Maharishi. We wired at the Maharishi and watched what was going on in their heads. And
yeah.
then we started doing research there that showed me amazing insights that I've just been following the rest of my life. Primarily that when the flow of regular thoughts stop flowing through the brain, everything changes. And that when you are thinking thoughts, the more expanded meditative, you know, integrative, creative qualities of consciousness simply cannot kick into gear. So what I've been studying and what I'm now going out into the world with is trying to develop a technique so that you don't have to meditate for half an hour to put the clutch in before you shift gear, so that you can
right.
do it in a couple of minutes.
That alone changed the way that I did meditation, because that's what I first discovered. I don't know that this is where you first put it into, but the book that I read, The 7 Masters, One Path, explained that, and that's where I was introduced to that type of method of narrowing down meditation, where you said like it only takes a minute, and that appealed to me so much. And that was years ago, and like I say, you know that. That's how you and I had come to know each other, because I had sent you an email after that because I was so impressed. And is that where you first introduced that? Was in that book, or was that?
I think in Kundalini Awakening was was okay. the first sort of book that I had that started talking about that. Yeah, that was a few years before that.
So go on more about the changing it to where meditation doesn't have to be, because that's a conception, isn't it? That's I have to sit in a particular position for half hour to 45 minutes and then try to focus my mind on nothing or one thing, or, I mean, it can be quite difficult for some people.
Most people have quite difficulty, really, one way or another, mastering traditional meditation. And I, like you said, I came from a cattle ranch where it wasn't whether you could talk philosophically about fence building. It was whether you could build a fence that stayed up. Very, very pragmatic, you know, upbringing. And the truth of the matter was in the late 60s, we saw that both therapy was not working very well and had a lot of room for improvement. And also that for, you know, contemporary mindsets, going into a traditional meditation for most people, you know, was very difficult. So I set out to find out what the core psychological process that pretty much drove all of the world's meditation traditions. I started looking for that core process and took a long time. And, you know, we have now basically sort of identified it. I do often see myself much more as a scientist than anything else, because I love reality. You know, if I'm anything religious-wise, I'm Zen. I think that the more we tune into the pure experience that we're having right now, and the more we simply spontaneously participate in the present moment and have the mind quiet, the better we do.
Absolutely.
I'm not against reflection. Surely, to have an experience, you know, we go back and forth. We have an experience, we reflect on it, and we come back to have a new experience. The trouble is that these days, most of us are so locked up in our thoughts, which is reflection, that we're not getting enough new experience into into the system to actually help us evolve rapidly.
We get stuck in the movie.
Yeah, that's it. Now, the question is, how, in fact, can we temporarily, over and over, quiet the flow of thoughts through the mind so that we can shift into experience gear, into the, you know, the eternal present moment. This is it. You know, there's no other place but here. And thought, by definition and in scientifically, is a past-future function of the mind. Everybody needs to really remember that when you're lost in thought, baby, you are lost in thought.
It's true.
Here, you know?
Very true.
Yeah.
I want you to meet one of our other co-hosts. Her name is Brenda. We have four people on the show, including myself, and her name is Brenda, and she had a question for you real quick.
Sure. Hi, Brenda.
You know, I listened to you a little bit of your background about being a cowboy and being out in nature, and I was wondering if the Native American philosophy or even any of the, like, cowboy philosophers influenced some of your early thoughts about all this.
Very, very deeply, I must admit, yeah.
Like Will Rogers, you know, or somebody like that?
Oh, yeah.
And your grandfather, too, wasn't it, John?
And my grandfather especially, yeah. These people who are very much tuned into physical reality moment to moment. And if you're not heads up on a cattle ranch, you're injured or dead. You know,
that's right, especially if you're on the back of a horse.
Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of the cowboy kind of wisdom that I do put into my books. For instance, nobody fights reality and wins. You know, that's just the basic lesson.
That
you can have whatever great ideas and so on, and human beings can go off on so many tangents that basically are just tangents. There, we can create a lot of illusions, and you know, the cowboy notion that nobody fights reality and wins is so important, and it comes out, for instance, in one of my focus phrases: "I accept the world just as it is." Most people, most of the time, are judging
the
world.
That's good.
They're not accepting the world. You know, in fact, I have you know, loads of people say, how could I accept the world just as it is? It's terrible.
Right.
Well, that's judgment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other kind of wisdom that I drew from was that Buddha and Jesus, they laid down the psychological reality so clearly. You know, Jesus said there's just two things don't do. You know, and he said, don't do it because it doesn't serve you. He said, judge not and fear not. and then love one another. And, you know, that's about all that one needs to walk away from reading the Bible to get along really well in life, I think, is these, you know, don't go into, he didn't say go into therapy for 20 years and work out your anxieties. He said, hey, right, don't do it. Fear not. And I actually, I dodged the draft after I got my degrees in psychology and went to seminary and, you know, went really for 4 years deeply into my Christian roots. I'm now a post-Christian or a recovering Christian, however you want to see me. But that core teaching that Jesus was laying out, you know, if we just listen to it, and Buddha said the same thing, Lao Tzu said the same thing. So I've been looking at how can we, in fact, choose to shift out of fear mode and choose to shift out of judgment mode. And when we do, A, we're in heaven. B, we're here. C, we can actually really participate in the unfolding of the present moment, which is really God's ongoing creation. He just didn't come here and make it. This is God's creation. What's happening right now, it's amazing to be living right in the middle of a hurricane. You know, the mm-hmm. eye of the hurricane is the present moment. And right, if you're right here true. In the present moment, it's very calm. I went through the hurricane over in Kauai 10 years ago, so I know what the eye of a hurricane feels like. It's very quiet, very calm.
That would be very scary. So the focus phrase is, it's not just positive intentions. It's not just a positive phrase that you just say to yourself. Don't they, and as we're getting into the nitty-gritty of what a focus phrase is, maybe we should start there. What is that you've come up with? What is a focus phrase? And maybe what isn't it? What is it not?
But curious, I've just worked for about 3 hours today on the following paragraph. We have a new book called Wisdom, Wellness, and Redefining Work. I'm taking this into the workplace first. And it starts out, focus phrases are realistic statements of universal human intent, pointing one's attention and creative power toward inner experience that stimulates wellness, and so on and so forth. A focus phrase isn't wishful thinking. It's not hoping that every day my bank account is getting fuller and fuller.
Right.
It aims people toward actual experience that we all know. And the thing is that we just don't, if we focus our attention, wherever we focus our attention determines what we manifest. So my cause, if I have a cause, is encouraging people to take responsibility every moment for where they focus their power of attention. And focus phrases are the tools, cognitive tools, that help us aim our attention exactly where, in fact, we already want to go. But if we don't aim our attention there, we're never going to get there. You know, if you want to go to Philadelphia and you never focus in Philadelphia's direction, you're never going to get to Philadelphia.
Right. Isn't it like a core phrase? Aren't they? They're phrases, though, that seem to me that when you say them, there's a resonation that happens inside. It's not just you trying to convince yourself. Like you said, I accept the world just as it is. You're not trying to convince yourself, but there is some type of a tuning fork. It just strikes, and there's a resonation that is the way that we are supposed to live.
That's really well said, yeah. These are universal truths. I've never met anyone who disagreed really with these 24 focus phrases. The question is whether we focus our attention there or we don't. You know, one of them, for instance, I honor and love myself just as I am.
Yeah. That's a good thing. I'm just letting that sit for a moment. And that,
yeah, the thing is that as we say, when you say a focus phrase to yourself, not out loud, on the exhale, then on the inhale, the experience comes. And it's the experience that matters. I would like to say something really, really contrary to our civilization. I would like to say that I'm not interested in what things mean. Meaning is really, you know, beliefs, our belief systems and so on. What does that mean? That is not the question. What for me, it's what experience are you having? And right. The deep faith for me means that what we are feeling and experiencing right now is it. This is the gift that we're given. And it's not here to judge. It's not here for us to say, well, this experience means such and such. That just takes us off onto a mental trip. For me, if we can stay with the feeling, you know, really stay with the experience of breathing, for instance, and just be as much as possible in the experience we're having right now, that's it. This is not really at that level rocket science. It's no, so it's simple that we can't get it with our complex minds.
They can't fathom it, can they? Some people think it's too simple, and they think they're missing something. And somebody had said if it were actually more complicated, everyone would understand it. Because we make things so complicated, and people are always looking for this to actually be more complicated than it is, and it's just not. Before we get too far off on this subject, one of our other co-hosts, John, is Maureen, and she has a question for Anna as well.
Hi, it's so nice to be listening to you. Thank you. Yes, well, this was back about 30 seconds ago, a couple things that you were speaking of. I've always talked about I don't believe in anything, and I keep that word, try to keep that out of my vocabulary, because all I know is what I know. So I'm open to anything else. If I have an experience in anything, it's not like it's a belief. I don't like that word, believe, for some reason. But also one thing you were talking about, I wanted to know, as far as collectively us having focusing on the, it's not about wish fulfillment or anything like that, but collectively, isn't it a great thing if we could collectively come more into having the most positive things that would help more so in other outside things like in the world, you know, love, things of that nature?
Absolutely, yeah. We are, every moment we have the choice to be in judgment mode or in love mode. And the key thing is that you cannot be in judgment mode in the brain and feel empathy or love at the same time. So every moment that we're in judgment mode, which is like most of the time for most people, we have made the choice, you know, unconsciously not to be focusing in the positive toward love. And if we can just see that we all have the responsibility of where we're focusing our attention each moment. And I don't care if people are using my focus phrases or whatever, but we surely need all the help that we can get to state our intent with words in such a way that it takes our experience beyond our beliefs and our words into the experience itself.
And be conscious of it as well, instead of walking around oblivious to our, like you said, staying in, not in judgment. Yes, yeah, like, you know, Jung, talked about that. I think it's real important. It's wonderful listening to you. Thank you, Bobby, for letting me in.
Yeah, of course, absolutely.
Well, it's wonderful to have all you folk out there. It's great.
It's very, and we, yeah, it's, I think it's just new enough that a lot of people aren't understanding, because as we're even in the chat room and people are talking about negative thinking and how it's difficult to stop all of that. And this really is, I don't think they're understanding, or what some of the misconception is that we're not combating or getting rid of negative thinking. We're just choosing to focus on the positive, and then the negative thinking naturally dissolves or just disappears. Yeah. And by the focus phrases, isn't that what they're doing, John?
That's exactly it. One of the things I found as a therapist over the years is that anxiety and worrying does not really help us at all, ever. You know, worrying just doesn't, going into the negative mode and worrying about all the terrible things that might happen in the future is really a dysfunctional way to respond to and creatively relate with what's happening in the present moment. And, you know, if only we could see these choices clearly, there's no choice. Someone was talking just before I came on, who was saying the same thing, wasn't it? Was that fellow with a British accent or something?
Yes, Steve, and it's not a real British accent. He does that because a lot of people like that type of voice.
Anyway, you were saying we have really the, you know, it's all
it was actually me. Said, wow. Okay, tell him it was really me. It sounded like Steve.
Whoever it was saying just what I was going to say. So I figured, well, he said it. We've done it. But it is a choice. And it's all choice. For instance, right now, you know, what I would say is I am, first of all, sitting here choosing to be aware of my breathing. Then I'm talking with you folk now. That the first choice, as I understand it, and surely all meditative traditions have this, is first of all, stay aware of the breath experience. Because this grounds us into our deeper, you know, our deeper presence. And as soon as we lose our awareness of our breathing, at a very deep level, we're just not here. And that for me is the first choice. That's why my focus phrases start, you know, with that process of, you know, feeling the air flowing in and out through the nose, tuning into sensation and not letting go of sensation. Thoughts take us away from being here as a physical body. You know, I'm 66. I'm not going to be in this physical body, you know, maybe 20 more years. I want to dig every minute. This is the gift we've been given now, is to be here now. One of the first person who talked to me about psychedelics was a fellow named Ram Dass, you know, who wrote the book Be Here Now, Richard Alpert. And I remember, you know, listening to him talking about just the choice of being here now. And I really, as a very fervent Christian, I'd never even thought the thought before. I'd never even thought about that whole notion that I can choose to really be here. And so here we are all breathing, aren't we? In terms of, are we all together right now? Everybody on this planet right now is breathing the same atmosphere. You know, we're all connected by the atmosphere. You don't even have to leave science to feel connected with each other. And I remember the scientific fact that in every three or four breaths that we take, we are breathing one, molecule of air that Buddha breathed or that Jesus breathed. That past and future, we are all connected by the air. Isn't that an amazing thing, this atmosphere? Right now, we're all breathing together.
Fascinating. You know, it makes me take a deep breath just listening, doesn't it? You know, that's crazy. Really? So I want to go more into, like, wherever you think somebody should start with focus phrases, John. We'll do that in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break and then come back. And like I say, maybe just start talking about where's a good place to start? One of the very first focus phrases, and I think you touched on a little bit of focusing on the air breathing or choosing to enjoy this moment and then focusing on breathing or however it is that you think would be most helpful. But just stay with us, and everybody, again, we're going to be back. We're just taking a quick break with John Selby, author, good friend. The book that really turned me on to all this is Seven Masters, One Path. But he also has Expand This Moment, Tapping the Source. We'll talk about some of those coming back after the break as well. You're listening to Psychic Viewpoint. We're going to be back in just a moment.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And welcome back, everybody. I'm Bobby Marcaso, along with my hosts, Steve, Brenda, and Maureen. And again, we're talking with John Selby, who has so many books. John, how many books now have you written?
Well, I've had 57 books published, believe it or not. I'm one of those people who's made his living quite a bit by writing books. But I will admit I've been saying the same thing over and over. You know, like all musicians, you kind of sing the same song over and over. And it's every time I understood something a little deeper, I'd write a book about it. But it's been the same focus, which is, to be quite honest, one of the key things about being a cowboy is, what's the purpose of life? You know, to enjoy yourself, to enjoy this moment.
Right.
And so you were saying, what focus phrases do I start with?
How does it start? How does it begin with somebody who's never done this before? Or, you know, we come across quite often those who want to meditate. But frankly, I think they're a bit scared because there's so much information on meditation out there that they may not know where to start, how to do it, or they develop pictures in their mind as to what it's supposed to be like. And there's just a little trepidation there of even breaking into it. So this, I think the brilliance of focus phrases is it actually leads you through a meditation. Before you know it, you're done with the focus phrases and you've actually meditated. It sneaks up on you in a way.
Yeah, meditation means being aware. There is nothing else to meditation than being aware. Being tuned into your experience in the present moment is meditation. I encourage people to aim to be in a meditative state all the time they're awake, every day. It's not something you just go off and do. There's always the beginning point. If we're lost in thought and you want to bring yourself into the present moment, shall I take people through these first four focus phrases?
That would be great. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we're all definitely up for that. Just to kind of and so those people who are listening, as John goes through these focus phrases, just listen. Let the words do their magic and just let them work. You don't have to think about this. Just simply follow along. And I think it's a great place to start, John.
Yeah, and the magic of a focus phrase is that you don't just think it, you say it to yourself. What you're doing is you're stating an intent of where you want to aim your focus of attention. And as soon as you state your intent with saying the words, instantly your attention is aimed there. That's what a focus phrase does. So you can notice that this is what's going to happen. The first one is, for me, always the place to start. And I'll say it, and then you can say it to yourself, and then we'll have a little moment of quiet. Okay, and let's just see where we end up as we do this. I choose to enjoy this moment. I feel the air flowing in and out of my nose. Isn't that great? All of a sudden we're here, right?
You can feel the shift take place.
All of a sudden, you're out of your thoughts in your head. Your presence is in your nose. And that's the first consciousness expansion. And the next one, notice what it does. Stay aware of the air flowing in and out of your nose now. And say this. I also feel the movements in my chest and belly as I breathe. This brings you all the way down through the chakras. The chakras are very real things. So all of a sudden, you're not focused on a point in your body. You're experiencing all the movements at once. And what we found at the Institute was that when you shift your focus from being focused on a point, which is what thinking is, to experiencing two or more sensory experiences at the same time, all thoughts stop. And in fact, we did discover this in 1967. And we're just now really at the point where I guess our society is ready to hear this. That if you want to quiet the flow of thoughts, it's not difficult. You just tune into the air flowing in and out through your nose, which is one basic sensation. Then you expand your awareness to, at the same time, also include all those sensations of movement in your chest and your belly as you breathe. And your mind becomes quiet.
It just instantly goes there, doesn't it?
And it's so, so simple. One of my favorite books, by the way, is called A Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment.
Yes, and I know that one.
That's a hard thing here. That's it, right? And then the next focus phrase takes you all the way. I'm aware of my whole body at once, here in this present moment. So these are progressive. These focus phrases build on one another. There's a very definite flow. Yeah. Now the next one, what a radical focus phrase. Ready for it? Should we do it?
Hit me.
We now shift into emotional well-being. And the first one is this. I feel the emotion. Oh, by the way, none of these further focus phrases work if you don't stay aware of your breathing. Isn't that amazing? They simply are just thoughts. But if you're aware of your breathing, as you say the next focus phrase, it takes you into the experience, not the associative thought. I feel the emotions in my face. Breathe into that. Huh?
It just made me smile. I just started smiling.
And then we go on in my throat. And all of a sudden the throat tends to open up. In my heart and in my belly. Just tune into all the feelings that are there. Don't judge them. Don't try to make them go away. This is you right now. And as soon as we say, oh, I don't like how I feel, I want to change that, You're gone.
Yeah.
The whole point, but that's when we drop down to that focus phrase that says, I honor and love myself just as I am. Notice that the entire Christian and New Age movements are built on trying to change how you are, not to accept yourself, but to make yourself better.
Right.
You know, all we need is to love ourselves. If everyone just said, okay, I'm just going to love myself just as I am and go on with my day, what a wonderful world it would be.
True.
Nobody can give us that unconditional love that we all seek. We have to give it to ourselves. And if we don't, if we go around hitting ourselves over the head with a judgmental hammer, we're living in hell. And we have no one to blame but ourselves. It's such a simple thing, you know. And if one focus phrase, you know, the thing about these focus phrases, you can carry them with you throughout the whole day. Here's one that is just really nice to carry throughout the whole day. I feel connected with my source.
I like that one.
And if we don't say it, if we don't bring it to mind, when we say it, I feel connected. I feel. It's not I'm theologically in tune with the idea of God. It's I feel connected with my source. That's as universal as it gets. And just to feel it, it's not to think about it, it's to feel it.
Yeah. Those are so amazing. Like you said, carrying around with you throughout the day and just kind of briefly touching upon it while you're breathing, it takes just but a moment to just activate all of that. And it's so easy. Stephen, he's the one that you had talked about earlier, has a question as well for you on all this. Steve?
Thank you, Bobby. My question is relating to productivity or our results, and to what extent focused attention increases our ability to create outputs.
Yeah, what a question, huh? Yeah. That's why our new book is called Wisdom, Wellness, and Redefining Work. Work has to be really so seriously redefined because, you know, first of all, what is it that we're wanting to produce? Is our heart and soul into what we're producing? And when we are lost in the past and the future and worrying about the work that we're doing, we are basically undermining our success. And when we simply put away all of the worry and in the present moment do our very best and actually bring our whole being spiritually and otherwise into the present moment, so we're really in the zone at work and enjoying the work, this is, of course, when we produce our best. it's interesting right now to be doing, to be bringing these focus phrases as a corporate program. Now, one of the first companies it seems we're going to be working with, can you believe this, is Halliburton. To show you how open the world is right now to just the reality of the fact that something needs to change. The structure that we have is that for 12 minutes, for 4 3-minute breather breaks, we call them, during each day, each day for 6 weeks, we introduce a new focus phrase into the workplace. And everyone goes around holding this focus phrase in their mind and talking about it. There'll be chat rooms for it and so on. This is really the revolution that we dreamed about in the 60s, actually happening in corporations. Yeah. It's quite a world right now that this is not only possible, but actually happening.
Yeah, right around the corner. That's your new book, right?
Yeah. And for me, sort of why I came out of retirement, sort of, is that this work is, you know, there's just loads of work for all of us to be doing. And what we're really doing is simply helping people to focus their attention in rewarding directions. Another great cowboy aphorism is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Right.
We can help people focus their attention in these deep inner directions with focus phrases and so on. But what happens, their own inner experience, we have nothing to do with. You just get out of the way once you help them aim their attention. And of course, every time we say a focus phrase, we have a new experience. It's a pretty amazing world we live in that the present moment never repeats itself, right?
Right.
It's always new. So every time you say, I feel connected with my source, you'll have a new experience. One of the main mistakes people make in meditation is that they'll practice meditation. At a certain point, they'll have an amazing experience. Then they'll spend the rest of their life trying to duplicate that experience, when by definition, they're never going to have it again.
That's a huge, I run across that all the time. If it didn't happen whiz bang like it did before, they keep, like you say, keep trying to repeat that experience, and they just fall short. And then they take it personal. They think that they are doing something wrong with the meditation. And then it's, I can't do this anymore.
That's it. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So where do you see this? So we've talked about in personal life, and we've talked about bringing this into the workplace. And I think it's so profound, like you said, if we just paid attention to ourselves and be at peace with ourselves, and the whole world would change. I've heard that one person being selfish and paying attention to themselves is so much better than thousands who are not. You do so much more for the world. Where do you see this heading? After that, is there more even expansion to this, or is it just unfolding by itself and it just will take itself to infinity, I guess?
Well, you know, I have a funny new sense of where this is all going. It goes right back to Lao Tzu. There's nowhere to go and nothing to do. I'm no longer trying to improve myself. not trying to improve the world. The world doesn't need saving. As far as I can see, the transformation is that transformation into, you know, what we call peace. There's an amazing book that I'd recommend to everybody. It's really my Bible right now. It's called The Presence Process by Michael Brown. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just, if you want a book, boy, there is a book. I'm supposed to push my own books, but I'm aiming everybody toward Michael's book because it's really a beacon of light for me these days. He's able to say all of this stuff in a new way that sort of wakes up a new vision. One of the things he says is that you can't make peace. If you go to any war zone and you take all of the human beings out of that zone, it's peaceful there. The peace is the quality of the world. The peace is here. It's our minds that are generating, you know, non-peace. And as soon as we quiet the flow of thoughts They're basically fear-based that generate aggression and anxiety and so on. There's really nowhere that we got to go. People have gotten so far away from just the feeling of being content and of being at peace with themselves and feeling love, that we're always thinking that something has to be going somewhere and getting somewhere and that we're headed somewhere. The truth of the matter is we're here.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go. This is it.
One of the things that I always say to in workshops and things when people are saying, trying to attain peace, that you can't not be. So I try to have everybody right now try not being.
Yeah.
And it's impossible. You just can't not be. It's just there. And like you said, there's so much. I really like what you say, how you're not trying to improve yourself anymore. I'm not there yet. Like one day a week, though, I will stop with all spiritual attainment or contemplation or any. I just give it a rest. I tell you, that is such a freeing feeling when you just stop all pursuits of anything and just simply just go about your day and let it all just be.
Yeah.
It just really takes the handbrake off and you just simply expand. It's amazing. What
that's,
book?
That's the path right there. Is that the pursuit of happiness is really not a good thing to do. You cannot chase happiness. We need to seek from being seekers. Let's stop seeking. Let's be finders. Find it. And that's what I found with these focus phrases. Well, this is it. We've got it. There's no excuse now to keep chasing off and buying a new book and doing this and the other. You apply the cognitive tools and take charge of your mind. And the magic thing here is that only when we fully accept the world just as it is, without trying to change it, does change happen.
Yeah.
That as soon as we are in the present moment and not judging it, we're really engaged with the moment. Naturally, each moment is evolving. There's change happening. It's not like we have to make something change. We are actually participating naturally in the present moment, which is the change.
And sometimes it's significant, and sometimes it's not.
Yep.
I think people are looking for that every time. It has to be huge.
Yeah.
So we're starting to wind down just a little bit. What would you recommend of your line of books? I know you have Expand This Moment, Tapping the Source, which was a follow-up to the movie The Secret. We also have the movie The Tapping the Source. And so you co-authored this book, which takes people in a different direction as well. But what book would you recommend that would most encompass what we've discussed tonight if people want to just instantly go there?
I would say two books. Seven Masters, One Path is a really good beginning point because it takes the seven sort of primary, spiritual masters of humankind and shows that in terms of meditation, they were all aiming on the same direction. I sort of brought those traditions together. And then my last book probably is the last sort of book of its kind, I'll write, Expand This Moment, takes the first 12 focus phrases and really goes very deeply into each focus phrase. So I would say Expand This Moment.
Yeah.
And especially to go online. Well, Bobby and I will laugh, of course, because we are rebuilding my website.
Oh, my gosh.
As soon as we kind of get it together, the short, 3-minute guided videos that take you through this process enough times to where you begin to learn it by heart. To go online and do that, I think, is very important.
The easiest way while we're building John's website, go to YouTube and look up John Selby, S-E-L-B-Y, and all of his videos are there. And they're free, they're meditative, they've got the focus phrases attached. And then like he was talking about, when you also visit his website, tappingdaily.org, we are just completely rebuilding it. And it's coming along, slowly but surely it's coming along. So John, thank you so much. It's been amazing. This is my first show anchoring this like this with a guest, and you're my very first guest, and I really appreciate you taking the time out because I know that you're just absolutely buried with all the things that we have going on. So thank you so much, and
I'm really honored. This has been a real heartwarming experience. Thanks to all of you.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Wonderful. Fabulous.
Brilliant.
Thank you,
okay.
John. Yeah.
All right, John. I will connect with you shortly after either after the show or sometime tomorrow.
Okay. Love y'all.
Okay. John, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Again, John Selby, if you go to the website tappingdaily.org or just find him on YouTube, and you'll be able to see all of his meditation videos. So he just makes these things and he'll put them up, and they're sometimes 3 and 4 minutes, which again is brilliant because we don't have a lot of time to meditate or to focus on that kind of thing. So if you've got just 3 or 4 minutes out of your day and you just want to focus on one of those types of videos, it can be extremely beneficial. So stay tuned for the second half of the show, because as you know, we have everyone call in, get the free on-air readings with all of our gifted psychics. Steve will do his accent for you, and we'll announce the call-in number later in the show. So make sure you're able to write that down, and then we'll also put it in the chat room here as well. And then last week's show, you'll find it in the recorded archives. It was about Crystal Skulls that Steve was hosting. All of our shows, all the previous shows are in the archives of PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Now, you go to the archives tab and then circulate all that as well. If you find a link, what I've always found, if something resonates with you, it resonates with everyone. So think of who might also benefit from listening to the archives, and then send those links to your friends. It's our objective. We want to connect with as many individuals as possible. So if you can help share those links, you're part of the process and part of making a difference. Also, if you like extra help and articles about the how-tos of psychic development, go to psychicbloggers.com. That's written by our very own psychics on Psychic Access. All of them contribute. We are trying to have everyone contribute at least once a month. There's so much material on there. And again, you'll find everything from reincarnation and how to develop your own psychic development and intuitive knowingness. So, and then while you're at the site, if you want a reading from the best, in my opinion, the best professional psychics that are out there on the net today, psychicaccess.com. They're verified, accuracy tested. Everybody has their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile that you can find out more about them. They have chat rooms that you can actually go in and chat with the particular psychic as well. You can make a connection with the psychic before you even decide to have a reading with them. So, again, choose from this list of authentic, gifted psychics. It's really amazing. Again, I'm so impressed by this site, and people who know me know that I don't give my word or back anything up that I absolutely don't believe in. Another person who also works very hard behind the scenes is Doug, doing everything he can to make the show run as smoothly as possible, and the site himself, the high expectations that he requires of every psychic that's on there, makes it just even that much more of a pleasure to work as well with Psychic Access and with Doug. Site owners, webmasters, you can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that's referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, you can just visit the psychicaccess.com/webmasters, and that will take you right where you need to be, and you can kind of help share in some of the profit as well. All right, are you ready? Are you ready? The call-in number for readings at the end of the show, 724-444-4851. 724-444-4851. We'll be taking your phone calls, doing readings by, again, all of us here, Maureen, Brenda, Steve, and myself. Each one of us will take phone calls and help you in whatever area that you would like to most talk about. So going back to the show, John, I love him. We have been friends for a while now. And Maureen, what do you think, in talking like the negative thoughts and positive thoughts, how about you personally? Do you find it difficult to shift to when you're especially caught or contracted around a negative emotion or thought? How easy is it for you to shift that over to positive thinking?
For me, it's very difficult, and I feel, you know, I'm aware of it. I wish I was in denial a little bit more, but you know, all of us that do this work usually can't be, because I think for me, I'm only speaking from my knowing, not beliefs, but for me, it comes back to the same old tapes that loop back and back from when I was growing up, that I feel that it's sometimes, sounding odd as it may be, you know, sometimes it's more comfortable to stay in the negative thought because it's so...
Well, it's easier. A lot of people think.
It is very... It's from the conditions. Conditional
right.
thing. And it's bothersome. And, you know, he spoke, interestingly enough, well, you know, I put myself out there personally, and if anybody has a problem with it, oh well, you know, with my personal self. But here it goes. Mm-hmm. I have a real, I have a very rough time, and I have for most of my life, and it bothers me. It saddens me. He talked about how, you know, people look in the mirror and say, I forgot how he put it, but you know, you are good enough or whatever. I do the complete opposite, and I do this, and I know it's powerful. I'm aware of it, and then I punish myself for doing it more. But I say some very awful things to myself. Well, you know, I talk to myself anyway. Awful things about myself. I tend to do that, and I'm very aware of it. It's hard for me to say good things. And I know that, again, that's just a thought. That's my thought. It's just a thought.
That's all it is.
I and I understand that. That's why then I get mad at myself even more so, because I do understand that and I'm wise enough. And I wouldn't want this anybody else to be feeling like, or if I heard someone was talking, it would break my heart listening to them say, if they told me what I just said about what I do. You know, I just.
It's tough. That's some of the most confrontative. If you really want something confrontative, you stand in front of a mirror. And most people can't even just stand there and just and look at themselves. It's very difficult.
I use hardly any lighting in my home. My daughter, she's living in my bathroom. She puts a regular light on. I go, turn it off.
Oh, no.
I know it's really, but I think this is coming from old stuff. And he's right about being in the. I really enjoyed that what he took us through. Being in the it's really important about being present. And I really enjoyed what he took us to about the breathing, because it really was nice for me.
It can really be helpful that, especially when you're saying those lines to yourself, you're not saying negative phrases. In other words, you're saying a positive focus phrase, and even for just that instant, even in just that moment, there is no negative thinking. That negative thought or patterns or whatever it is you might be feeling don't exist at that particular moment.
Exactly, and that's what I felt like when we went through that. I was just being in there, being in the now, in the moment, and that it felt really good. It almost felt like for all weeks, it felt like, you know, just for that little few minutes that he did, it was wonderful.
Absolutely. All right, listen, everybody, we are going to take free readings over the phone, and we understand that you're calling in. Really appreciate that. However, please don't call in just now. Wait. We're chatting it out. I gave the number so you could write it down so that when I go, okay, call, then you could call. But right now, don't call. Just wait for a moment, okay, because we're going to chat it out here just a little bit, and then our phone lines get all mixed up. So anyway, please just wait for just a moment, probably about another 15 minutes, and then we'll get to straight to some of those readings. Now, Brenda and I share something in common. We're both Reiki masters, and I think that I don't know of a situation that these – and maybe I'm biased – but that these focus phrases could not fit into. How do you perceive that fitting into Reiki? Like with healing practices or bringing these types of focus phrases in. You know, you could make your own focus phrase as well. These are just some that John has come up with. But I'm sure that when you're in a Reiki session or as you just kind of give yourself over to spirit like that, that there would be positive focus phrases that might come about.
Well, you know, I was really, you know, I really agreed with John when he was talking about, you know, in a nutshell, you know, thoughts and words are actions, because we put it out there. And it becomes a reality. I mean, negative or positive. Just like Maureen was talking about, you know, she's looking in the mirror. She doesn't, you know, we put these things on ourselves and thus we become it. See what I mean? Yeah. So in the area of healing, you know, in as you know, as a Reiki, as a practitioner and a Reiki master, when we channel the Reiki energy, you know, to add along with it an intent or a phrase towards a specific person or someone we're healing or even a distant healing, you know, to me, it feels like it would make it that much more powerful. As a matter of fact, I do it already. I kind of already do that. I combine it.
Yeah, it's real easy, again, because it just kind of comes up quite naturally, doesn't it? I think when you're in source or coming from there, it really just spontaneously happens. You don't have to think, what focus phrase should I use now?
It does, and I think it's important to, you know, when, with all the wonderful stuff he was talking about, it's so important to, you know, to be aware of grounding, because we can all get really out there in meditation. We need to come back, and we need to ground too, you know, and otherwise it could affect us in other ways, as you know.
Absolutely, absolutely.
No.
So, Steve, do you think with the interconnection between the words that we use, and I know that words are very, very powerful, unfortunately. I say unfortunately because they can heal as well as hurt, I think. But if we don't give meaning to words, words aren't what is, right? They're merely pointers. But do you think that the words that we use in ancient metaphysical sciences, do you think those two are interconnected in a way?
I do, Bobby. I'm always astounded by how interconnected different metaphysical tools are. So if you look back at the origins of tarot, there are theories that tarot is, or that the symbols on the tarot cards are actually a symbolic depiction of the ancient Egyptian Book of Thoth. Uh-huh. And that that book was destroyed at the fire in the library in Alexandria. But there is a theory that the contents of that book were depicted in the tarot deck and given to gypsy people that roamed. So it was safe, in effect, or it was difficult for it to be controlled or eliminated. But when you really learn in detail about tarot, you realize that it's completely interconnected with numerology and with astrology. And in actual fact, I was reading a book by David Lemieux, and he correlates not only numbers with tarot, but both with astrological terms or elements and the planets, but also with the Hebrew alphabet. And I love playing with words. I was meeting with a colleague this afternoon, and we were talking about the word evolve, and we were just reflecting upon that word and acknowledging that it includes the word love. Uh-huh. But it almost, if you look at it, includes the word evil. So again, the opposite ends of a continuum of evolution from darkness towards light. And I'm convinced that the words we use are extremely powerful, and that, you know, we were given languages, and that they are reflective of energies. The words we use are far more meaningful than the glib definitions that we apply to them as we speed through our conversations.
Yeah. So I think sounds, don't you think sounds are more powerful? I mean, I guess I'm trying to take out the element of, you say a word and instantly a thought, an imagination, or some kind of a picture comes to mind. And that can be on so many preconceived ideas and how we were brought up, that really to get away from all that and directly into source. So I think in some ways to eliminate words, but yet I'm with you, we've added such meaning to them that they can be incredibly powerful.
Yes, they are. And I think that we have to really choose our words very carefully.
Yes.
And even recognize that there are certain energies that aren't reflected by words. I know that when working with spirit, we're often given a feeling or an idea that almost can't be translated into words. Mm-hmm. I think words are fascinating, but it's so important to stop and to stop the conversation and to stop our mental chatter and just feel, as John said, just stop trying for a moment. We were chatting in the chat room, and I'm always on the go.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to stop and meditate and just be. There was a great, I can't remember who said this, but I was in a conversation a little while ago and somebody said, you know, if we are overly attached to problems from the past and or living overly in anticipation or anxiety about what we might or might not create in the future, then we're not experiencing the now, and now is all there is. Right. And this, and then went on, if you don't believe in the afterlife and you're not experiencing the now, then you're waiting to be dead.
Right. Pretty much, right? You're just standing there waiting.
You're dead.
You're dead. Yeah. Crazy.
We are so much more alive and so much more in spirit and inspirited and inspired when we are present and when we focus. And it's not something that I find easy. It's something that I have to work on a lot. But John's advice is exceptionally powerful.
I've always found it to be so. It's so, again, I think it's because of the simplicity. A lot of his background, again, coming from Zen, which I also have a background in, and just found it, you know, it's just amazing. So very simple. And it's tough, isn't it, Maureen, especially when there's negativity. A lot of people, I know that you get this a lot, people talk about going through their day with feelings the way that they are and trying to, you know, because we're out of the now, we're getting so much more, that's where negativity comes from. We're caught up and wrapped up in what could be or what already happened. So when negativity is actually directed at you, do you have a trick or a method or something of how you kind of deflect that? Because a lot of people, I believe, are empathic and they pick it up without even knowing about it. But there's ways that you can become, I think, more invisible to allow some of that to pass through you. But how do you handle negativity that is towards you?
Well, because I do run on my wits, my feelings, empathicness. Man, I've been like a SpongeBob throughout my life with that. I don't handle it. Again, the work I do, I'm being really upfront with people. That's why I help people so well, because I know what it feels like not to be able to handle something that's so frustrating. But what I do is, it depends, you know, it really depends on what's going on in my life as well. If I'm going through some really, like right now, I'm a little bit into the dark night of the soul stuff, which is pretty deep. And I'm not going to go into that, but if anybody is familiar with that, it's a pretty deep place, but it's something I need to go through. But I feel that, I need to isolate myself off, and I have a sense of humor about it. And for instance, if I'm, if anybody's going in the market and they're picking up some energy from the checker, for instance, it really has nothing to do with me. I'll take it on as, she's mad at me or someone's mad at me. I do that. And really, I laugh, and this is how it helps me anyway. I laugh. I say, it's all about me. When they have really no clue how deep this stuff is going. And right. I'm saying, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
That's what helps me. And, you know, silly as it may sound, I make a joke about it, and people think I'm, you know, I am hilarious, but really it isn't all about me, but I have to laugh at myself because, you know, really, I mean, I'm thinking, oh, those people, well, really, even if they were, and I am picking up stuff, if I make a joke about it, and with my sense of humor, that helps. And also one more thing, Bobby, about what you spoke about, the sounds, music, that helps me extremely. I mean, more than anything, I love, and dance, I can be in the moment really well when I'm dancing by myself in my home.
Alone, I wanted to make that clear.
Well, you know, music, I love the Door, I love all the 60s and all that, just I can feel, and I feel really, that is something, it isn't just the words. Words don't work well for me because I'm bad with words, saying bad things to myself. Music and tones are helpful for me.
I like tones. I do love music. I borrow sometimes. I work extensively with mentally disabled people, and I'm fortunate enough that on my way to, sometimes I go in and sing as well at facilities like that or into retirement homes, and I pass by some, and I will see them out there in the yard, and instantaneously it switches my mood. So in other words, I'm seeing things that are positive to me, or things that help me make that cognitive shift. And things that just, like you said, music is one of those. The minute that you hear it, certain pieces, I'm sure, just instantly, you know, kind of switch you over. So you're almost using that energy and just kind of getting into that flow, and it completely takes you out. So yeah. that's a good point. So there's different times, I think, during the day that we meditate. I used to love going to bed, and I would sometimes go to bed really early because I would find myself meditating before bedtime and listening to tones and music. And then it got to be where I'd work it into my day, and I'd do it first thing in the morning and try to set my intentions for the day, and then afternoon. Stop. And then so all really different types of days.
Stop. But
Brenda, what do you find is best in your practice? Like, what time of day or do you find different meditations for different times of the day, or how does that work for you?
Well, you know, sometimes I like to meditate. I like to meditate in the mornings when I do my yoga.
Yeah.
Or just before I go to bed. And I tell my students, you know, when they ask, they want to learn how to meditate, and they go, well, I don't have any time. I have no time to meditate. Well, you always have time right before you go to bed. It doesn't matter when it is.
Yeah. And, you know, it's exactly it. I always find that first you have to find a time to do meditation. John's mm-hmm. stuff is really great because, again, if you have a minute, you know, to 10 minutes, whatever, just that little time. But what I find is the more you meditate, the more that you take your day around meditation. You have to plan around that. Mm-hmm. So first you have to work it in, but then everything falls around your meditation.
It's always good to do it, I think, in the morning before you start your day. And if you can, you know, and there are – and Steve was talking about the tarot cards. Each tarot card, each one of the major arcana, has a time of meditation, you know, a day and a time of meditation. And sometimes when you focus in on that, it just kind of like sets everything up for the whole day.
Absolutely. If you don't get yourself on the right track, the rest of the day can just, you know.
You're just not going to be worth anything to your clients, no.
or yourself. Absolutely. So I know directing workshops, directing meditations, I saw somebody in the chat room say that it's important that it's the intentions behind the words that are important. And I agree. But again, I think our voices are sounds. That's why people love it when Steve talks, because they just find that type of voice very soothing. And I think it's very important that words and our voices, how you say something, it can come with a sharpness, or you can say the exact same thing and come with such a soothing energy as well. So, Steve, I know you believe that our voices and the words, they all carry energies. But so, what do you think the implications are of that? Steve, what do you think the implications are of that, Steve? Steve. There he is. Hi. I had this huge setup, and then
he's meditating.
He was like, let me show you how powerful.
Right out of it.
Pure silence. That's what I have to
say. I was using wonderful words, but on mute. I believe that the words we use verbally and the words that we focus on mentally create the world. And I believe it's therefore critical that we choose our words carefully and express ourselves authentically but lovingly, whether we're in public or in private, interacting with others or interacting alone. I believe that there's enormous power in John's advice about our focus and being in the now. You know, if we were each to be alone, but focused on a positive outcome in a particular situation, then we would have an impact energetically upon that chosen situation. There was a study of violence in Washington, D.C., and a large group of very experienced meditators focused upon peace. They regularly meditated together on peace in Washington, D.C., and the crime rates dropped dramatically. Oh, wow. And then when they were disbanded, the crime rates increased. And so I believe absolutely that the words we use create the world. And it's not just what we're saying to other people or saying in public. It's what we're saying to ourselves, verbally or in our minds. That I believe as well that we are constantly creating the world, and collectively we are manifesting everything that is happening in the world. There's a belief that all of the negative circumstances in the world are pockets, sometimes small pockets, sometimes huge pockets of negative manifestations, collectively manifestations of our negative energies and intentions. So I believe that our words and our thoughts are constantly creating the reality that we live in and the reality that other people are living in.
Very nice. That's well put. I absolutely believe the same thing. Now, if you're not done, do you mind? It's actually time for us to start taking phone calls. We have people on the line already. So please call in. The number again is 724-444-4851. And Steve, you're actually up first with a caller from California.
Good evening, California. Who do we have calling?
Hello, my name is Lisa Ray.
Hello, Lisa Ray.
And I'm in Monterey,
how are you?
California.
Hi, Lisa, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you. Happy holidays, everyone.
Thank you, Lisa. You too. How can we help, Lisa?
Today, how do I put this? Chaos, lies, and dishonesty from the administration of my nursing school has caused a bit of a rift with students to the director. And I just wanted to know if you see us all getting recommendations to the nursing board. Especially me.
Especially you. Okay.
Especially me.
I feel that you will. I feel that you're fine. I know that you've committed a huge amount of energy to your work, and spirits say, goodness, you've made more than your fair share of sacrifices to your work. And is he fair? Does he have fair hair?
Yes, she does.
Oh, it's a she. But my guides keep on showing me.
Actually,
there's a gentleman
all three of
with
them,
fair hair.
The president, the dean, and the director are all fair-haired.
Okay. Yeah, my guides keep on showing me fair hair. I really don't feel... I feel that you'll be fine. I really feel that you'll be fine.
We have to pass this test in February. She's not giving us any ultimatums. And will not listen to our guidelines. She's going outside the guidelines and making them her own rules. And she's making us take another test in February. I think it's the 17th, to be exact. And we have to receive, I believe, 80 or 85 and above on this 500-question test. Do you see this happening?
I see you succeeding. I see you succeeding. For some reason, this lady you refer to has another agenda, and I feel very anxious when I tune into her energy. So I don't feel anxious on your behalf, but I feel anxious when I tune into her, because I feel that the face she presents is very different from what's actually going on within her, and I feel that she's very anxious and for some reason very concerned about finances or budgeting. There's something odd about, there's something sort of political or financial about the decisions that she's making. There's a another agenda that we're not aware of, or that you're not aware of.
She is totally
but I don't
doing
feel it will affect
everything in her power to be on her own agenda. For example, for 3 weeks, she kept telling all of us that we had failed the test, but in reality, or failed the course after a whole year. And this is one of those intense nursing programs. And to find out, and she wouldn't give us our scores. And we've taken this test 3 times. So finally, I wrote a letter to the president. I wrote a letter to the dean. And they told her to give me my scores. And she, the first two tries, she tried not to give them to me. And then when the third email went out, they finally said, enough's enough. Give these folks their scores. And when we found out, we had passed the program. So you can imagine our relief that we passed the program. But if you don't receive an 80 and above, they're not going to recommend us to the nursing board, which will affect our licensure.
I don't feel you're going to have a problem. It's not going to be straightforward. In other words, she's not going to just change her behavior overnight, but there's something much deeper driving her behavior. There's some concern over budgeting somehow, but there's a lot of anxiety in her. And I feel that her personal circumstances are very, very challenging, that she's extremely unhappy, and it's manifesting in some of her, in the treatment, her treatment towards other people. It's as though the way somebody is treating her, she's projecting back onto other people that she has some influence or control over. So she's not in a good place personally, but that doesn't excuse the delays and these poor decisions. I do feel that she's being watched. I feel that she will be held accountable. I feel that you may well even find that late January she's no longer there. But it will all be, although it might be a little complex, the process is complex, you'll be fine. And I do feel that you'll be successful. And you deserve to be. But don't get into a battle with her. You tend to be a spokesperson. You tend to step up and defend other people when other people often sit back and just allow you to take the heat. And you need to allow other people to step up as well, and sometimes allow yourself to sit back and be defended by others. So don't get into a battle with her. That won't serve you. But I don't see this causing you a problem. I do see you being recommended to the nursing board, and I feel that you'll be just fine. I do feel, just out of interest to you, that you, in the longer term, I feel that you'll gravitate in your nursing work towards mental health and psychiatry.
Yes.
My guides say that you'll go in that direction, and you're quite interested in the darker side of people's personalities and mental health, even an interest in criminology. Ultimately, but you've got a very fascinating career ahead of you, and goodness, you've worked for this. You've made a lot of sacrifices, and you'll be fine. And also, I want to say to you that February 17th is an extremely auspicious date. That's a good date. I love the number 17, and you know, 1 and 7 is 8. It's the lemniscate. It's cosmic consciousness, it's representative of infinity and strength in tarot. So it's a great date. I really don't feel anything getting in your way. I really feel that you should just relax and listen to John's advice. Focus on the outcomes that you want. Don't get overly caught up in other people's baggage.
Okay. Steve, I have to cut you off, buddy. I'm sorry.
Sure.
We're going way
Thank
over.
You.
All right.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. Okay, Maureen, you're up next. You have a phone call from New York.
Hello, New York. I love New York. How are you? This is Maureen.
Hey, Maureen. It's Tommy. How are you?
Is Tommy? Tommy?
It is, honey. How are you, honey?
Oh, I'm fine. Gosh, second time. I'm doing good. Thank you. And I'm ready for you. Let me
What's
add
that?
All I can. I'm ready for you.
Well, you've all heard me. I've all talked to you about the woman problem. You know, this year's just been tough. I'm just wondering what's going to start next year with the woman finance, job-wise. I just, every time I'm down, Marine, I just keep getting kicked. Once I get back up, I kick back down.
Well, you know, Tommy, it might be the lessons. You know, this, her name, Michelle, was it Michelle? Michelle?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, God, I can't believe my memory even stopped. Okay, you know, Tommy, this is the thing I'm getting is, you know, you're feeling like, you know, you're what you just said is, and those are words what we were talking about earlier. You're saying what you said or how you said it was like almost like a bummer. Like you don't think things, and I remember talking to you or I emailed you recently about, you said something like everything's bad luck. I really feel you need to get out of that mindset because even though I do see you're almost like, I see that you have vision. You can see you're in between worlds. You can see there's a lot of positive things coming that you're heading towards. If you're being in the now, but what I see happening is that you feel like a lot of the things that you wish and desire just didn't come about. And that may be well said and true, maybe, but like I said, if you turn around and look at those learned lessons, I wrote something in the chat and I said, what we think we do not need are the things we need the most. So it could be that maybe even though you don't think there's some lesson here, and this is what for you, you know, there's something about put you know, the woman aside, not that she's not important, or your relationship aside, this is all about you and getting you back into your true skin, back to your skin.
Correct.
And inside, you know what I mean. I do feel, I see you, and you talked about job or something. There's a lot of unfairness surrounding or this work situation, but I feel it's because you're heading, I feel, towards a really great opportunity. And so I don't know if you're working now, but I don't think so. There's like a sense of unfairness if you started or something's going on. I feel it's okay. Look at it this way. If that is happening and soon to be happening, I see you heading in a position where it'd be very – it's something that you feel that you will thrive in and it'll feel adequate. And I know that you've been let down because of some of the experiences that you have by choice, you know, put out there, you know, some of your stuff. It's okay, Bobby, you're going through a really difficult time, but on the other hand, you're going through the time where
Tommy.
It's my Tommy. God, I keep calling Tommy Bobby.
Yeah, you know, you keep doing
I don't,
that.
You know, I don't mean to do that, but there must be something weird. Who, you know, I don't know. Never mind. You know, Miss Bobby, Tommy, you know, I know. I have a mental breakdown. I do that a lot. I don't know why. Well, that's a good thing. Okay, so anyway, what my feelings are is I see you focusing more on you, and some of the stuff is difficult, but I do feel that it's almost like you're going to be having – you're going through a spiritual death, but you're soon to be having to where you can come back up and start again, like from 10 to number 1. And even though things don't seem fair, there's a lot of lessons going on through pretense.
They might hire me, and then they find out some of the things I tell them about, and then it's done. They can't do anything.
Don't worry. I think you have to think a little bit higher of yourself. Don't worry, Tommy. Not Bobby. I think you need to be working on your creativity. Get back more into, there's some creative project I think you put down. It's very important for you to connect with that because that's really good for your being. It's very good for your being. Something with your hands or right, just something that you used to, would do. And like I said, I see you really thriving, and I think things are going to seem unfair. It's going to be a difficult first part of the year, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to want to not deal with it, but this is dealing with your true inner self. And really, I think it's the best thing because it's going to be really positive for you because you'll be feeling like you're really back in your skin. That's what I'm saying. And you have a lot of things going for you, Tommy. Tommy, listen, it's going to be difficult. Don't worry. I feel by March, things are going to start feeling a little bit better. You're going to feel a little bit more comfortable. It is part of your lessons. You've got to yourself here. It's okay. It's easy for me to say, I know. It's okay. I see you really thriving. And then the relationship.
Okay. All right, Maureen. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tommy. Not Bob. Sorry. Thanks, Tommy.
I wonder what that is all about.
You know what? Sometimes I do that, and I ask people, do they have someone close to them or a brother or someone?
Yeah.
Maureen, guys, I always call Tommy Bobby.
He did that once, too.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, okay. So there's got to be something about that in his family, or a connection. I don't know necessarily it's a connection between he and I, but I would say
it's a family
or name in the family. Yeah,
there we have
interesting.
It.
All right. Well, thank you, Maureen. Appreciate it. Maureen. It is Maureen. Yes. So thank you, Maureen. And Brenda, you're up next. We have a caller from New Jersey.
Hi, New Jersey. What can I help
Hi,
you with
Brenda.
Tonight?
This is Deborah. I've been trying to get a hold of you. we have two more weeks in this year, and lately I've been hitting stone walls. My daughter is battling with me because I think she knows her boyfriend's mom don't like her. The job situation has gotten better. So I just want to know, what do you see for me? And I really need to smile.
Okay, let's take a peek here.
Thank you.
The first thing I see is I definitely see transformation with your work situation. It's going in a better direction that's going to mean more money for you. Now, as far as your daughter, you know, there's something happening with that relationship, and I know she's going to go through a rough time with this boyfriend and the situation, especially over the holidays. You could find yourself, you know, kind of consoling her, because there is
a lot of negative
energy around his family. Now, I also see Wheel of Fortune around you too, so, you know, what you need to be smiling for is that there's new prosperity. There's some struggles that you've been having, especially with friends, and there's someone from the past, and it looks like a family member, and there's a debt that's in question, and there could even be some legal action around this, and this person will cause some turmoil in the family. You need to stay out of it. You can't buy into it.
A turmoil in the family, like my immediate family?
Yes, your immediate family. Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And now in this
stay
jobs,
out of it.
Go ahead.
In other words, stay away from the situation.
I would stay away from it because it all comes to a head right around the Christmas holiday, and then that's at the end of this week. And it's going to be, you know, a drama. You've got enough drama. Right? It's your daughter. I see love around you, though, opening
up.
Yeah. How's your love? How's your love life right now? Because I feel that there's somebody special who's thinking about you, and I see a renewal of love coming your way in the month of January.
That's what I wanted to hear. I have a friend that's a good friend, just a really nice friend. But I have that past friend I'm waiting for, and if it comes back, that'll be cool. But I have a nice friend now, a very supportive friend in my life right now.
This supportive friend may become more than just a friend, and it's interesting. Once that energy starts to come your way, it looks like the man from the past, you know, he can sniff it out. He's gonna feel that, and he may even try to come back. There's an explanation that he has to give you, and you know what? You need to hear it. You need to hear those words. It would close the circle for you, you know?
It wouldn't be the end of this year. It would be January, you think?
I feel it's probably around, it'll be definitely the end of this month, first part of next month is what I see. Because he's contemplating it now, but you know, a lot of times free will gets in the way. For several days, he's thought about it, but he's not acting on it, and he's letting other things interfere with him, but I believe he cannot hold it in any longer past New Year's.
Brenda, is it a he or a she?
It's a she.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're making me smile.
You need to smile because this comes back. You know what? It comes back.
I'm smiling really hard. my daughter is fighting me all the time. Is it because she knows her boyfriend's mom is battling her, don't really want her in the family?
She's got a tough situation with this mother. This mother is not wanting her to be part of their family
anything.
Or around her son at all.
Exactly.
And my daughter
is battling me instead of the mother.
That's because she's taking her frustrations out on you. But you know what? And the interesting thing that I see is that there could even be a time where the mother has words with you. Or you want
bring
to
it on.
Talk to the mother.
Bring
You're
it
holding
on.
Your tongue in, aren't you, right?
I'm ready for her. I've been ready for years, but it's none of my business.
Well, you know what? It's coming to a head. I feel that something's going to happen, an incident that you know what? You need to step in and say, what is going on here? What problem do you have with her? Because nobody's doing it. The boyfriend isn't doing it.
Yeah. Okay. You made my day. I'm smiling. I'm not taking up any more of your time, but I'm going to call you another time.
Oh, I want to hear from you. Inquiring minds want to know, honey.
Okay. You have
Bye-bye.
A great night. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.
Cute. Cute.
Night.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. And next we have a caller from North Carolina. Hi. Are you there?
Hi. I'm here.
Hi. How are you? Who's this?
Hi, this is Jenny from North Carolina.
Jenny. Hi,
good
Jenny.
To talk to you.
I'm Bobby. Good to
Hi.
Meet you.
Hi, Bobby.
What can I do for you, sweetie?
I have a question. Yeah, I have a question about this guy. We recently met, and we've been having a lot of arguments and disagreements, and we're kind of clashing, and I'm not sure why.
Okay.
I was wondering if you could help me.
It's first off, the very first things that I'm getting is that often in situations like this, it's natural for us to try to look into ourselves and see what is it that I'm doing wrong, and we try to take it personal, and then we try to fix it. Right? Or try to think if I could do something different or what should I be doing different. And you always have to open up to the possibility that it's not you. Sometimes you have people in their karmas and their energies that just clash. Okay. He himself has a lot of things that are going on that he's just not dealing with correctly or well. That's not to say that he can't or that he's not a strong person. It's just that some of the things that he's going through is just causing a lot of stress in his life. You are very expanded. You're very open. I can feel that into you already. And empathic, like everyone is. Whether people acknowledge it or not is a different thing. We all feel things and energies from other people. And I think what you're doing is getting caught up in his kind of turmoil, and it's making you spin.
Yeah.
And now you both are spinning around it. And again, you're thinking, God, what did I say? Or I shouldn't have said that, right? Because you're in a turmoil and you may say some things or snap or do things like that, but it's not your turmoil. Do you see what I mean? Like, it's not your negative situation, but you're acting from
right.
that. So the best thing to do, there's two answers here, okay? And one is more empowerment for you. What I would recommend that you do, you've heard us talk about getting into this source, and tonight's show was perfect for that, of how to just maintain your own vibration while he's spinning the way that he is. And from that,
right.
you can influence him into your positive area where he can start to open up and deal with some of the things that are taking place in his life right now. I think you're great for him. You're a good, nurturing person. You know, you have wide open arms. In other words, to hold somebody or to nurture them, to hug them and to soothe them. You're really great at that. And stick with what you know. You know how to do that, okay? And knowing that you know how to do that, allow him to kind of come to you in a bit. Again, second, so the other part, so that's the empowering answer, right? And then the psychic answer, of course, you want to know more than likely is where do I go from here? And do we continue to maintain this? And is he right for me and all that kind of stuff? Or was there a different question that you were getting ready to ask me earlier?
Yeah, that you can go off of that.
Okay. Okay. Generally, that's the next step, right? People want to know, okay, so then should we be together? And I think right now is a good time for you to be together. I don't know how long this relationship will be in your life. I think that you are, it feels a bit more spiritually advanced than he is. I think you've attracted him to your life for a great reason. But as far as equals, partnership, what I see being a relationship, mutuality, I don't see the relationship being there. And I don't see it necessarily coming to that point. Do you see what I mean? And I know that's not what you want to hear, but I have to tell you what I see, and I want to be honest with you so that you can make the best possible decision. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. Well, he has tried to contact me, like, kind of talk. So I was just wondering, like, what his thoughts are when he is trying to reach out at certain times.
Well, there's different things in there. I mean, depending on what he's going through at the moment, he'll call you up out of that. But I think basically at his core, like most people do unconsciously, they recognize that light that you have and they feel the need to call. They want to reach out. They want to just talk or just whatever so that they can get in touch with that again, bathe in the waters, as it were. And there's many different reasons why he wants to do that. And some of them aren't healthy. You know, you get that. I'm sensing that you get that intuitive knowingness when to answer the phone and not, or when to call him back and not. You know what I mean? That feeling that you get of like, yeah, I feel he's pulling at me too much. I don't think I'll call him, or I'll wait a little while before I call.
I almost feel like he's really manipulative.
Yeah, at times he can really be. That's when people need your energy so much, they can be very manipulative to get that energy, you know, and those are the times not to answer. So that's why I mentioned that, is there are times when it would be appropriate for you to call. And then, like I say, you kind of get that icky feeling inside of you, which is the technical term, by the way, icky, that you should not call him. So stick with your intuition on that, because it's definitely serving you well.
Okay. And do you see us like meeting up again or anything?
I do. I don't think you're done yet. Absolutely not. I mean, of course, again, it is up to you, isn't it? But I don't feel that you're done inside. You know, I don't think you're completed with him yet. I just think that you're recognizing what's taking place and where it's headed. So no, I definitely think you guys will be in contact again, and it may go really well for you. So, okay.
Okay.
Okay, just follow your intuitive knowingness, because again, I think you're really right on with that, and there's definitely a reason why he's in your life right now. So,
okay.
All right, sweets.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care.
Thanks, Bobby.
All right, you're welcome.
Have a good night, everybody. Bye.
Steve, how would you like to talk to California again?
Well, actually, it's Florida now.
Oh, Callie hung up. Oh, I thought it said Florida call hung up. Sorry.
No, it's Florida.
Yes, Florida.
Yeah, I'm here.
There she is.
Hey, who's calling?
Hello. I'd like to know, I'm having to make a decision on career-wise, and I'm kind of confused. I don't know which career. I'm still going to school, but I don't know which career to choose.
Okay, let me see. Well, my guides are saying that when it comes to school or your studies, you seem to have chosen the course that other people feel would be the most appropriate, almost realistic course or track for you. And it is worthwhile because you've learned a huge amount and it serves you, but you're not being honest with yourself about what you truly want to be doing. I feel as though you're holding back and you're being a little limited in what you feel is possible. Does that make sense?
No. I'm not holding back anything. I just, you know, very confused. I mean, I don't know which path to go. I mean, told by my spiritual guides to go to one path, and then if I take that path, I won't be able to support myself.
This is it. You are holding back. You're holding back from the direction that is most joyful for you, and I feel that you're being overly concerned with what you perceive as realistic or what the world perceives as realistic, and the path that your guides have outlined for you is a joyful path, and you perceive it as unrealistic, but you should question your judgment of what is realistic, because I can tell you I was in finance in a large corporation, and when I said, well, I'm giving up this highly paid, prestigious job to and all the travel and the benefits that go with it to pursue my spiritual work, everybody thought that it was a mistake. Everybody suggested that I would struggle to maintain my lifestyle, and they were wrong. It hasn't been easy every day or every step of the way. It brings some different pressures at times, but I followed my heart and I followed what my spirit showed me, and that was the right way to go. So don't be so linear or black and white. You'll find in actual fact that there's a blending between the path that you see as realistic or the right choice for you financially. There's a blending between that and the path you actually want to be on, which is the more spiritual path. And you'll find that they fit together and they merge just fine. But my guides are saying to you, don't hold back from your true passion and your true path. Find the bridge that links the conventional and realistic.
Sure. I'm not sure what that path is.
Well, I do feel that you have good healing ability. I see a shift towards. Sure, thank you, Bobby. I see a shift towards healing, but I don't. I just feel like you're really limiting yourself. What are you studying at the moment?
I'm sorry.
What are you studying at the moment?
What am I doing right now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm a ministry assistant, which I'm really bored.
Yeah. But what are you studying?
And the energy around me, I mean, the people around me are not always positive.
What are you studying?
We're going to have to wrap up, Steve.
Okay. We've got to move on to the next caller, but my question was, what are you studying? My guides are saying, what are you studying? What are you studying? You need to reflect upon where you're putting your energy and what you're studying and learning, because that's what takes you in the right direction, but you do need to question it. And I do feel strongly that you're being a little narrow in your outlook about what is possible. And as you reflect, as you explore yourself and you study what interests you, you'll see that the direction unfolds really clearly. But it doesn't feel right for me or my guides to say to you, this is exactly what it should be, because it feels that you need to reflect and you need to find your way to it. But be aware that their very clear message to you is, don't be narrow, don't be limited in your view of what's possible, and focus on what you're passionate about, what you truly want to study and learn. That's the answer that they're giving to you. And I wish you lots of luck.
Okay, thank you.
Take care.
All right. Maureen, you're up next now from California. We have a phone call.
Wow. Hi, California. Best place to put
it.
Hi, who's this?
This is Ivan from Los Angeles.
Ivan, is it correct? From Los Angeles. Hi, Ivan. And what can I help you with?
I am calling to see if you see any significant relationships in my
nice significant other. Okay, I want to ask you right out because of the time restraints I have here, and it's just easier if I do this right away. Is there somebody that you have on your mind that you're asking about, or is it some, or is it a clean slate type of deal? You don't have anybody, because that will be very helpful for both of us.
Yeah, I kind of want to do a clean slate type of deal.
Okay, so you don't, it's not you like you're thinking about someone, you wonder, okay, got it. That's helpful, and that way I won't, you know, go off the deep end. Okay, you know, this is what I'm getting. I feel that you have made some wrong choices in recently. Well, you know, not in the past. It could be, you know, whatever. It's some wrong choices, which is fine, because that's how you get to the best ones yet. Right now, I do feel, is Ivan correct? Ivan? Okay, Ivan, correct. I feel that you have the strength available, really, to make anything happen. And if you have, I mean, the strength available to make anything come together that you, if indeed there, I don't see any particular people, but I do get that you're really like a, you've been spending some time alone inward. You're like a beacon light for a lot of others, but I think you're really up for this being open and I guess, being available and being open for people that you may have not ever saw before as being good or being attracted to. So, you know, have you been recent, you know, I do see in isolation, you, like I said, you're like a wise person that people come to for help and all that. And so it's time for you to be wise for yourself and take that beacon light and carry it on to, wow, you've got some really great stuff coming your way. I'm not seeing an individual person, but there's some fantastic things. There is, I do see, there's like an energy of a woman that's really profoundly, deep, which I find to be good. Also, there's a completion around her, and that there is a feeling that you know of her, I feel. It's pretty interesting. But you have the strength this time around to be able to feel like you're comfortable and you can handle being in the present and being seen, really seen. Are you following me?
I think so.
Think so is an operative word. I don't understand that. You think the think so. I don't know. I just get there's a profound woman. That's before, like, I just feel that maybe you couldn't handle someone like this and you wouldn't be attracted, but it's just somebody, and I feel you know of her. There's a completion surrounding you, but you're strong enough, and she's a deeper person. Are you on real? Have you been on a spiritual path of, you know, I don't want to be all new agey on you, but you know what I mean. Have you been doing some work on?
I have been, but I date men.
Oh, well, then see the other call I asked that about that, and you, that's okay. We can go into that. I mean, thank you. I should have asked that. I did that. Never mind. I was on the. Okay, it's okay. This is a female, the female energy. Okay, men have it, women have it, we have masculine energy. So I'm going to go on this. The female energy, but I do feel it's somebody that you know, but it was somebody that you've met before that it was too intense. And now you've gone through a process for your spiritual development. And so I'm asking you, are you following me on that? That you're spiritual? Because I do feel that.
I am, actually. I am, totally.
Oh, okay. So what I guess I'm saying is I feel someone's coming back around that you know of, but there's a completion. It was left incomplete. Maybe the choice wasn't the timing, but you are really, it's very profound. It's fantastic. I suggest that it will be really this could be scary as well. The last time around, it was useless sacrifice. You weren't ready for this deep, profound, where someone could see you to the point where it could be totally tormenting, but you are up for it now. I see a very fantastic significant other that would be a lifelong partner coming your way. It feels like, I could be wrong on the time, it feels like into March and April. I'm not saying you'll have to wait till then, but this will all, you know, start moving along. But I do feel it's from someone from a while ago that you know of, and the completion will come back, and it's fantastic.
Wow. And with that,
I hope that helped. Before. Take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ivan. Take care. Okay. We've got another phone call from Colorado. This one is for Brenda.
Hi there. Hello.
Hi, Colorado. Hi there.
Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Hi there.
What do you need tonight? What do you need to know, honey?
Well, I have a question about, I don't know if it's a relationship or what it is. I'm kind of lost at the moment as to whether to continue to move forward in attempting to repair or restore this relationship or just get up and move on. I'm having a real hard time just getting up and going on. And
it doesn't help that it's this time of year, too. We, all the feelings and everything come up and all the sentimental feelings. And you have a very strong psychic karmic connection with this person, too. But I have to tell you, it's not ready to happen. So for you, all the signs, the universe is telling you something, like hitting you on the back of the head going, hello, maybe you need to move forward. You need to move, because you have to, if you don't move forward, then what's surrounding the situation is fear, and it pushes it. If there is the, if there's to be any possibilities that it comes back, it won't come back in your present state. It's like you have to go, at least go through the motions of moving forward. You have to. You have to take some steps outside of this because you're just too far into it right now, is what I see.
I get so many mixed messages from him about it.
I know you do. I know you do because he doesn't know. And the reason you get mixed messages is because he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He really doesn't know. And he, you know, you are in a different position in the area of relationships. I mean, you want to know. You want to know if this is going to happen or if it's not going to happen. And right now, I have to be perfectly honest with you. It feels like it's not the time for it to happen. It just looks like it's time to do some things for you. And in doing that, you're going to create an attraction energy around you. And you know what? He's not going to be the only possibility. I don't see it. I feel some other, there will be other possibilities as well.
Okay. I'm just having a really hard time with it and just getting, you know, accepting it, picking up, moving on, and mixed messages aren't helping it, you know.
No, the mixed messages aren't helping it, but you know what? Really, it is what it is. If you step away from it and go, okay, if this wasn't me and if it was somebody else that I knew and it was a close girlfriend of mine and some guy was doing this with her, what would you tell her? Get
walk
out of
away.
Dodge, right?
Change the story, take away the tell the story, take away the names.
Exactly. So you know what? Be good to yourself. Right now, you know, there's nothing you can do to change it. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
All right, honey.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Brenda. All right, we have a caller from New York on the line. Are you there? Hello, New York. New York. Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Hello?
I can barely hear
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Hello.
Hi. How are you? Who's this?
Good. My name is Margaret. How are you?
I'm good, Margaret. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to talk about?
Well, there's this man named Daniel that, like, I've known for about 7 years on and off, and I'm wondering if he's going to come back into my life again in January, and I'm also wondering if his wife is pregnant.
Okay. I feel, so you called up knowing and asking that we might have a particular answer for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, sweetheart. So I'm only prefacing all of this because, again, when we call, we have to have enough courageousness, I think, also to hear whatever answer we might get. And what you are involved with now feels very toxic to me for you. Like, this just isn't doing you any good. Now, I don't want to lecture you because that's not why you called in. But I just have to let you know that that's immediately what I'm tuning into, and it just really doesn't feel good or what this is doing to you. I don't know that he will be in touch.
I'm sorry, sweetie? I've been really upset over it because he hasn't been very responsive in the last couple of years that, like, I've been writing him and he hasn't really been there.
Right. Well, right. And so that's why that's kind of the first thing. I mean, the information that I get when it comes through, it's a combination. It's my guides, it's your guides, and they all kind of converge. And when you ask the question, I'm kind of being directed as to how it is to present it to you and what it is that I should say to you. And that's the first thing that they mentioned, even though it didn't directly answer your question. That's one of the first things they're wanting to know. They're concerned for you and how much this has upset you, and everything. It's like you're riding the train of just this and not necessarily taking care of yourself in a good way. And so, yeah, I mean, so I don't believe that he will come back into your life necessarily in January. Something's up with January. I definitely feel January around this, but I don't know what this is. He thinks about you, but, I think that's as far as it goes. And I do feel that the wife is pregnant. That's just the way it feels to me right now. And more than anything, I'm just really being told to stress how important it is that you need to take care of yourself right now. Because all of this is just no good, this this direction that you're headed. And just so you know, I don't say this to everybody. We get calls all the time of people who are involved in energetic relationships and connections. Some are married, some are not, some are pregnant, some are not, some are overseas. I mean, just different energy connections. This particular one, though, relating to you, your guides are just, again, they're stressing it's just not healthy for you.
I feel like he's a soulmate, though.
Well, listen, we can feel that. Sometimes we have connections with people, don't we? We have these, I don't know what the specific term is. There may be a term for it, but I call them like a soul connection. It's where you get past all of the human stuff and you just meet each other on one particular level because there is that openness and non-judgmental, and it's just this connectedness that is like no other. But out of 7 billion people on the planet, you are bound to have that with more than just one person. And also, just because you have that with this particular person doesn't necessarily mean that it's appropriate that you need to be together. You know what I mean? Like, when we have that connection, we instantly take it as like, what if I never have that again? What if I don't meet somebody like that? We are supposed to be together because we have this strong connection, and that isn't always the way it is. Sometimes you just have that connection with somebody and have them not be appropriate. It doesn't have to be one or the other. Do you see what I mean? And so I think this is resonating for you a little bit, and you kind of see what I'm saying. And I know it's not what you want to hear, but I think that you're understanding what it is that I'm saying, aren't you? A little bit even?
Right.
Okay. So I wouldn't get caught up in him being your soulmate. I would look more for how, in ways, can I feel better about myself and this relationship? And usually that question is answered by taking care of yourself and deciding not to be energetically pulled by him anymore like this. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, but why is it still happening?
Well, because you're allowing it. So you're still allowing that energy because you haven't let go of that connection just yet. So it's going to continue to kind of happen like this. So what I'm trying to do, and I have to wrap up here because we've got to move on to another phone call, but it's just a matter, again, of connecting with all this and realizing that you can take care of yourself and that you can have this connection with somebody, but it doesn't mean they have to be in your life. It's a real tough thing to get our minds wrapped around. So do you see what I mean? So that's where I would start. And listen, this is just a beginning. We've got on our Psychic Access website, again, we have some free chats that you can come in and talk a little bit about this. And when you connect with somebody, you can, you know, maybe delve into this a little bit deeper on how to take better care of yourself. It's time for that now. You have to start doing that. Okay.
All right.
So I have to let you go right now. But thanks for calling in and just kind of think a little bit about it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, sweetie. All right. Take care. Oh, that's so tough, isn't it? When you get people that's like that, it's very difficult to guide and direct because we're so involved and so in the middle of everything. But we've got one more call, Steve. We have a call from Ohio, but we have to Now, Steve, we have to make it quick. Steve.
Okay.
30 seconds or less to solve the problems of the world.
Okay, who's calling from Ohio?
Hi, this is Lee Allen from Ohio. I attended my ex grandmother's funeral, and I was wanted to know how did he feel about that.
Okay, I feel we spoke last week, didn't we, about you attending? Can you hear me?
What was that?
Well, we spoke last week about you attending, didn't we?
Yes, we had talked about the funeral,
Yeah. I feel that he's calm about it. I feel that it was a sign of respect on your part. And my guide said it was the right thing to do for this lady and for yourself, and that he will be respectful of that. And I feel that you did the right thing.
Okay. Does he still have love for me? Does he? Is he still going to want to be with me?
I feel that he still has love for you, but I don't feel that now is the right time for you to be together. I feel that you need, if you are going to be together, there needs to be more time for healing. There's still frustration between the two of you, but I feel that you made a step in the right direction by going to this funeral. You did the right thing. Okay?
Okay. Do you see us getting together soon?
I feel you being in contact. I do feel you being in contact. I feel that you'll hear from him in the next couple of weeks. But take it steadily, and you need to rebuild a friendship and respect for each other. Don't rush. But I do feel here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Okay? So good luck.
Okay. Thank you.
Take care. Bye.
Nice job, Steve.
Your word is my command.
Oh, heaven, heaven. Hey, everyone, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. Another show in the can. Thank you, Doug, working behind the scenes, keeping us on track, all the phone calls, our executive producer. Thanks to all of my co-hosts as well. Just want to wish also everyone a Merry Christmas. Just be so, so safe on the holidays. And next week, Maureen, you are hosting the show, are you not?
Yes, I sure am. And everybody would love to come. It's on the Indigo Crystal Children.
Oh, good, good, good. That's great.
And I a great guest.
Fascinating.
Oh, yeah. And I'm having a guest that actually was with us a year ago. She's a wonderful woman, Dr. Athena Drews, I believe. She's very, it's going to be a great show. Everybody loves. And also, I think we're all Indigos, the adults. So we're going to really cover some really great ground there.
It's going to be great because, I always say I get asked this question a lot, but it really is true that one of the main things we always ask about is I get people asking about their kids and how do we deal with that? And how do we work with it? And what item going crazy? But I think it's all great because parents are finally starting to have an awareness. They didn't when I was growing up.
I know. I wish. And Dr. Athena does work with the children. I mean, the parents of these children, not just Indigo, but children that have like me. I wish I had that going on when I was younger too.
Yeah, no kidding. I know.
So it'll be a really great informative show. I think everybody will really
enjoy. All right. Thank you so much, everybody. Steve, Brenda, Maureen, and fantastic show. Really appreciate it.
Have a happy holiday, everybody.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Bobby. Great show.
Yes, love it.
Thank you.
Bye to all.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.